सतो मा सत्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मामृतं गमय असतो मा सत्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मामृतं गमय असतो मा सत्गमय तमसो
again. And let's begin by first making an offering of our practice, then we're going to chant Om Namah Shivaya just once. And then we're going to chant the mantra Om, the pranava mantra, the sacred syllable Om. We're going to do it according to the teachings of verse 29 of the Vijnana Bhairava. Verse 29 says, O Bhairavi, by uttering the mantra Aum and by meditating on the void, the emptiness, the space at the end of the prolonged sound, you attain the state of supreme emptiness through the Shakti within the void. So this is a practice that many of you will have done. Part of what the Vijnana Bhairava offers us is not only the practice, but an understanding about the practice. So we are going to make the offering, chant Om Namah Shivaya Gurave, and then we'll chant Om. I'll chant, and you can chant on your own. We'll do it in a particular way. We're going to, first of all, chant the full syllable, all three syllables of Aum. So we'll chant Aum, and we'll prolong the M sound for about three beats. So you can follow my lead. And then at the end of each chanting, we'll pause and focus precisely on the point where the sound has come to an end. So right at the end of the M sound, we'll focus. So can close your eyes. Find yourself a comfortable upright posture. Have the feeling that your sit bones, your hips and thighs are grounding and connecting not just to the seat where you're sitting, but also to the earth that's supporting you. Have the feeling now that from that grounded base, your torso rises up through the crown. And you can bring your attention to the breath. Following the breath as it flows in and flows out, perhaps noticing the madhya, the space at the beginning and the end of each breath. We ask that through the power of our practice, all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask to know the equanimity beyond grasping, hatred, and numbness. And we ask to know the equality of all that lives. And now we'll chant the mantras that invoke the inner consciousness in the form of Shiva or Bhairava, invoking Shiva as the inner guru, the one who has lived invisibly within us lifetime after lifetime, as the awareness that knows our experience and that leads us inexorably to that state, that place where we know ourselves as what we are. And I'm going to lead the chant so you can chant along with me, and we'll chant just once and then go into Om. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchitananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase Om. And you can take a deep inhalation, and with the exhalation, begin to intone just one repetition of Aum, like this. Aum. Pause at the end of M and focus right there, in the place where sound becomes silence. Aum. Aum. So again, welcome to the third in our first series on the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, which I like to translate as the Tantra of Fierce Wisdom, which is one way that you can consider the Vijnana Bhairava. I like that translation because it conveys the piercing, fiery quality of non-dual wisdom, which this text can open up for us. And I also want to acknowledge the openness with which so many of you are sharing your experience, and also the way in which you're offering your very hard-earned wisdom to each other on the listserv. As so many of you know, one effect of strong practice is that it sets off a kind of churning inside the subconscious in which our subtle karmic backpack begins to be released. And the fire of meditation, especially when it's powered by the lineage energies that are manifest not only in the energies behind the lineages of Vijnana Bhairava, my own lineage, your lineages, when that fire of meditation is kindled, it begins to dissolve obstructions and also sometimes to bring up obstructive feelings so that you can see them and release them. So it's very important to understand as these things arise that they're actually arising as part of a liberating practice, and they're filled with the Shakti of liberation. They're not ordinary. They're literally markers on the path to inner freedom, which is what the Vijnana Bhairava and the practices that we're doing are all about, and what the community of practitioners actually makes possible for us. So we're going to do a series of different contemplative style practices in this third class, and I also want to remind you that this is just the first in the series. I'm always, when I plunge into the Vijnana Bhairava, I'm always kind of overwhelmed by how much richness there is here. So we're going to keep on mining that richness every other month for the next few months. So there will be another Vijnana Bhairava teleclass in December that you're invited to attend. And so don't feel that because your favorite dharana wasn't explained or unpacked or you didn't get a chance to practice it, don't worry, you will. We're going to dance through many, many of the practices in the text over the course of these next three sessions. So one thing that is always said about the Vijnana Bhairava is that it's a foundational text of non-dual enlightened wisdom, especially from the Kashmiri Shaiva tradition. So non-dual means that it really comes from an enlightened awareness that sees everything as part of one single interwoven reality. But what foundational means is interesting in several different ways, because first of all, it's foundational in the sense that it's allowing us to recognize and enter into the divine core that is our foundation, that is our foundational consciousness, that's hardwired into, it seems, human beings for a very long time, perhaps forever, because the tradition behind the Vijnana Bhairava is really very, very old. The text was written down around the 6th or 7th century, but it clearly is a very old oral tradition, and it comes out of a secret world of Himalayan caves, literally communities of yogis, where yogis, yogic adepts, lived and discussed the nature of reality with fierce intensity. So they were pre-modern. They came out of feudal cultures. They had beliefs that we no longer subscribe to, and in many ways we've evolved past them. But what we haven't evolved past, because they were really their practice and their teaching with the foundation of an awareness that's come down to us since then, in which which remains foundational and probably will always remain foundational, is the capacity for intuitive realization of the divine self. And these yogis, took it very seriously. They argued a lot about which practice was the ultimate higher practice. And one of the claims of the Vijnana Bhairava is that it settles the question. So it settles the question in a way that's congruent with both the Shaivite practitioners and the Buddhist practitioners, who were, more or less neighbors in this part of the world, in Nepal and Ladakh and Bhutan and Kashmir, which were for a long time the sort of fountainheads of Buddhist and Shaivite culture. Not to go into the history of it too much, it is still fairly clear to contemporary scholars that the roots of Tantric Buddhism, which is in fact a far more widespread practice in the West now than the original Shaivism, but Tantric Buddhism actually came out of the practice of these Shaivite yogis in the Himalayas, and many of the founding teachers of the Vajrayana Tantric Buddhist lineages were actually Shaivite yogis, not Buddhists at all. And it's one of the reasons why there's so much congruence between Vajrayana Tantric Buddhism and non-dual Shaiva Tantra. The Vijnana Bhairava, as a foundational text for both traditions and now a foundational text for many modern yogis, that is to say you and I, is first of all, the practices are free from dogma. They really never tell you that you have to believe anything, which is tremendously important and also very modern. They describe the nature of ultimate reality as waveless, thought-free, ego-free, bliss-filled consciousness. And even though Buddhists call that particular vast non-dual consciousness no self, and the Shaivites call it Shiva, and had no trouble with the understanding that this formless vastness could take a personal deity form. The point is that their description of the state and the ways to it were utterly dogma-free and applicable to pretty much anybody, anytime, if you make allowances for the language, which sometimes has to be explained or unpacked, which is what we're doing. So the reality, the ultimate reality, which can be experienced as our expanded human consciousness, as our mind, what we call the mind, once it has been opened, freed from thoughts, or has learned how to see through thoughts, and to recognize its nature as what in Shaivism is called awareness bliss, or stillness dynamism, or being and becoming, the nature of this foundational consciousness being both completely waveless, utterly still, and yet paradoxically constantly in motion, constantly pulsing with creative potentiality. And the tantric intuition, which, as many people have pointed out, sounds quite a lot like the insights of quantum physics and chaos theory. But the tantric intuition was that what is really important is the realization of this condition of expanded consciousness within ourselves. And as we've been seeing, one of their core meditative insights was the discovery of the madhya, the still point between breaths, between thoughts, the still point that opens up in the central channel, in the center of the body. The madhya, the center, is significant and ever new and profoundly transformative, precisely because it's such a power source, no matter what level we approach it on. So the Shaiva Tantra promises that the effect of practice and realization in this tradition is both enjoyment and liberation. In other words, it's good for your mundane life, and it will ultimately liberate you from suffering, from confusion, from delusion. And they understood that when we are able to enter the madhya, the center, the place that opens up between breaths, or in so many of these other practices, we're entering into not only into the great consciousness itself, we're also entering into the fountainhead of personal transformative capacity. In other words, the still point, the center, isn't just still, it pulsates with creativity and potency, it's power. You know, as Deepak Chopra has a memorable phrase that a lot of you know, the field of limitless potentiality, which is what he calls the expanded mind. That's the madhya. That's the consciousness that the Vijnanabhairava is pointing to. So, and what the yogis understood is that when you enter the madhya, when you open it up, or when it opens up for you, you actually are tapping into the infinite creative potential that can not only transform your inner experience, but can also, because consciousness is a mirror in which everything else is reflected, your madhya consciousness will begin to transform the world around you, not only because you're coming from a different place when you're in the madhya, but also because when you learn the practice of standing in the madhya and creating an intention, a really deeply wisdom-centered intention, the power of the madhya will bring it forth in the world. So, of course, this is the truth behind a lot of the New Age practice, the New Age teachings that are in the Law of Attraction and the New Thought movements. It comes out of the understanding of non-dual Shaivism. So, let's just take a breath in and a breath out. And let's see if we can recollect the madhya that we approached last week by turning into the center and the head, having the feeling that we're breathing into the center between the eyebrows and entering into the center of the head just above the hard palate, which is not only the sixth chakra, it's also the upper doorway into the Sushumna Nadi, the central channel. So allow yourself to inhale and exhale with awareness in the very center of the head. And if you're feeling pressure there, what you can do is actually create a sense of spaciousness around your head, so that if there is a feeling of pressure, which happens because the Shakti is opening that center, sometimes it does it with a feeling of pressure, but as you create a sense of a large space around the head, it allows the pressure to begin to kind of soften its edges and melt into the surrounding space. So the breath is coming in and out into the center of the head. And as you let your awareness draw inward, the next inhalation, your attention goes deeper into the center of the head, and then with the exhalation, it flows into the heart, and it flows down a kind of subtle tube, which as we know is the Sushumna Nadi or Madhya Nadi, flows through a subtle channel down into the center behind the breastbone. Now you inhale, allowing the breath to flow from the center of the head down into the center of the heart. Exhale and allow the breath to flow from the center behind the breastbone, the heart center, up through this channel into the head. If your awareness wants to stay in one of these centers, that's fine. Whether it's the third eye or the heart. But for many of you, it's very revelatory to begin to feel how the breath can flow down and up through the very center of the body and begin to open up your awareness of the madhya, the channel that actually runs from the sixth chakra all the way down to the base of the spine, but which we're presencing now in its topmost section running between the third eye and the heart. Just let the breath be very relaxed. Allowing thoughts to arise and subside. Having the recognition, the bhava, that wherever the mind goes, whatever thoughts come up in the mind, all of these thoughts are made of shakti. They're productions of the shakti, which is the manifesting power of Supreme Reality. So welcome the thoughts without falling into their content. Welcome the thoughts as manifestations of shakti. And just let the attention, the mind, flow with the breath in and down to the heart, up and into the third eye. This practice that we've just done, this particular Madhya practice, which is intended really to open up these centers in the subtle body as well as the Madhya Nadi, the channel that connects them, belongs to a particular category of practices that the Vijnana Bhairava commentators always want to draw our attention to. So I'm going to say a little bit about them. Some of you are familiar with these categories, some of you are not. But it's actually a very interesting way of understanding a little bit about why a particular practice is meaningful to you at a particular time and a different practice is meaningful to you at another time. The Vijnana Bhairava practices are actually designed for different stages of capacity for unity consciousness, which for all of us is different at different moments. And the basic recognition of the Tantra is that consciousness is constantly expanding and contracting. So that means, from our point of view as most of us know is that you can be in a fabulously expansive state now, and 3 hours from now, you feel like a kind of wizened, old, dried up prune, or you're angry, or you're sad, or you're stressed. And what we often get sort of taken out by this, because we don't understand that the expansion and contraction of consciousness is actually quite natural, and that the process of realization, part of the skill that we learn in realization, is we become more realized, more awake, more capable of navigating our lives, is that it's possible to flow between these states and yet remain in touch with the underlying consciousness that holds them. But from a practical point of view, the sages of the Vijnana Bhairava, Shiva Bhairava, realized that the practices that work for you when you're in an expanded state don't necessarily work when you're feeling contracted. So, for example, there's a dharana in the Vijnana Bhairava, which I'd like us all to do, and you can do it along with me. It goes like this. Contemplate simultaneously that your entire body is filled with God consciousness. From the crown of your head to the tip of your toes, your entire body is filled with the infinite freedom, creativity, blissful, tender, soft energy of supreme consciousness itself. Just imagine for one full moment your whole body is filled with God consciousness. So don't think too much about it. Just say to yourself, my entire body consists of nothing but vast, open, spacious, free, sublime, love-saturated, blissful awareness. Notice what arises inside. For some of you, that was mind-blowing. For some of you, it was and some of you just, didn't get into it at all. What I would say is that this is a practice that sometimes is the absolute best practice for you, and it's often when you're very open and spacious or in a meditative space. But sometimes when you sit down to meditate after a really, very hard day, or when your kids are fighting, or you've just been diagnosed with a serious illness, or something difficult is happening in your life, this awareness won't feel so accessible to you. It's a little bit too abstract, perhaps, or too... it's not close enough to your experience. On the other hand, another very similar practice, the verse 71 in the Vijnana Bhairava, which is often effective for nearly everybody in every state of consciousness, and that is the practice of remembering a moment when you felt loving, or when you felt happy, or when you just felt very tender. And you might do that now. Just remember that moment, where you were, who you were with. And then remove the content of the memory and just focus on the feeling, on the felt sense of happiness or love. was a speed meditation. What I'd like to say about that particular dharana is that it's almost universal. I mean, it's not always fitting our mood, but I've taught it with 5-year-olds, with born-again Christians who are spooked by Eastern philosophy, with cops, people from the police department in New York in a stress reduction class, and for many, many people of all different levels of practice, just to remember a moment of love is very immediate and relatable and will up-level your mood and lead to an expansion of consciousness to one degree or another. So the Vijnana Bhairava, it's one of the reasons why the Vijnana Bhairava gives us so many choices. But what they also say is that it's important to understand which method, and in Sanskrit the word for method is upaya, is going to be appropriate for you at a given time. The three essential methods, I'm going to give you the Sanskrit and then translate it and then say a little bit about it. The first of these methods is called Anava Upaya, which translates as the individual's method. In other words, it's a practice for when you are feeling fairly tightly identified with your empirical, individuated, historical self. So your attention may be outwardly focused, your mind might be busy, you might be emotionally stressed, or it might just be that you're, you know, feeling very much like Karen or like Tina or like Fred. Not so much like, you know, a divine consciousness having a human experience, but Fred having a Fred experience. So when you're in that individuated state, which is, you know, where most of us are most of the time or much of the time, the Anava Upaya practices offer us the support of a meditative object that we can concentrate on that will help you draw your attention inward. So a lot of meditation practices, and certainly a lot of the ones I teach, are Anava Upaya practices. So, and these are practices where you focus on the breath, or you focus on the chakras, or the subtle body, the Sushumna Nadi. The practice we just did is an Anava Upaya practice, or on external sounds, or on mantras. So these are really practices that can help you turn from your outward focused, you know, attention going through the senses, mind busy, so-called ordinary consciousness, to a more inwardly focused consciousness. So Anava Upaya is often the place we start. And what often happens is that as we do the Anava Upaya practice, we'll get more. Something happens. There's a shift in our awareness. We become more inward. Our subtle energy becomes more available. We start to notice the flow of thoughts rather than, you know, just following the thought train. At this point, you'll often sort of naturally segue into a more subtle category of practice, which is called Shakta Upaya, after Shakti, meaning the method of energy, the method of Shakti. It's also called Jnana Upaya, J-N-A-N-A, meaning Jnana means subtle knowledge. So it's the way of using thought to transform the nature of your inner consciousness. So basically, Shakta Upaya practices work with thought, with the mind stuff, with the mind energy. And it's based on the understanding that your inner field of consciousness, called Chitta, in Sanskrit, is actually a condensed form of the vast creative consciousness, which in Sanskrit is called Chit or Chitti in its feminine form. So in Shakta Upaya practice, you use your imaginative capacities, your thinking capacities, to transform your experience of your mental consciousness and ultimately to allow the mind to become mind-free. Essentially, you use thought to take you beyond identification with your limited self. So the practice that we've been doing, wherever my mind goes is God, is a Shakta Upaya practice. In other words, it's a thought, but it's a mind-blowing thought, as it were. It's a thought that kind of upends your conceptual understanding. And Shakta Upaya practices are really, really good for mood changing, for state shifting. I use them a lot in day-to-day life just to give myself a different perspective. And, you know, the practice like self-inquiry, asking yourself, who am I? The sky dharana that we did last week, where you imagine the sky in your head, is Shakta Upaya, uses the imagination. And part of what Shakta Upaya practices actually do is that they sort of shift your brain state, so that this is how I think of it. It's not really neuroscientifically accurate, but it's kind of a description of the way we often experience this kind of transformation. We could say that in ordinary thinking, our mind is in a particle form. It's literally carving, our brain and nervous system are carving up reality into separate individual objects, particles, to use the language of physics. When we inject a thought like "my head is sky" into our consciousness, what happens is that the consciousness of the mind and our brain state shifts into what we could call a wave experience, you know, so that rather than carving up reality, our mind is expanding our own consciousness so that reality feels subtler, more wave-like, more unified. So that meditation that we did on finding the middle state between pleasure and pain is also Shakta Upaya, where you take two hot emotional states and consciously use the mind field to hold them in balance. So we're going to do right now a Shakta Upaya practice, a practice of enlightened imagination called actually a bhavana, and it's a fairly advanced bhavana for now. But we're going to do one that's a little bit more visual and imaginative in a minute. So this is verse 124 of the Vijnana Bhairava, and it's one that I, for some reason, just have always loved. And it says this: the reality of Bhairava is present everywhere, even in ordinary ignorant people like water carriers. You know, this is a society, very caste-ridden society that this text came out of. So, you know, these high-class intellectual practitioners might perhaps look on ordinary people who didn't think about God in the way they did, as ordinary. And what this text is pointing out is that everybody experiences Bhairava, because everybody experiences I-ness. Everybody says I. Everybody has a sense of self, no matter who we are. So when you recognize that your sense of self and the sense of self in everybody is God, is Bhairava, is the highest consciousness, you start to recognize that nothing exists other than that, and you begin to enter the non-dual state. So here's how I'd like to suggest that we do this contemplation. Think I to yourself. Think, feel your sense of self. That absolutely recognizable sense of self. And tune into your sense of being yourself. And just recognize that as you tune into your sense of self, which we could call foundational consciousness, you're tuning into the same self that in its vastly expanded form is the foundational consciousness of this whole incredibly vast cosmos. It's at the heart of every star, every planet, every piece of space dust, every galaxy, every intelligence, every particle of everything has a self-sense. And if that's too hard to imagine, consider all the living beings that you can imagine in this world. People you know, the people you saw in the supermarket, your family members, the faces you see on TV, the people suffering in all the zones of the world where people are suffering, and the people reveling in their wealthy homes and restaurants and swimming pools, the people making love, the people feeling sick. Just consider in every being and creature, the animals, the trees, the plants in your garden, in every living being is this sense of self, of existing. And that self-sense is consciousness itself, God consciousness itself, Bhairava itself. Just let yourself dwell there. Same self in me as is in them. And that self is the God self, Shiva, absolute consciousness, Tao. And as you have a moment of recognition of that, just let yourself go into it, into the sort of miraculous awareness that every being everywhere has a sense of I, of self, and that self is God. Your sense of self is not named Karen. It's not named Ed. It's God. One self in all of us. So you're completely welcome to stay in whatever awareness arose for you. And part of what happens when we use words or thoughts to bring forth a recognition that can create an inner awareness that expands consciousness, is it will lead us very often into an experience of spacious presence, of pure emptiness, of expanded consciousness, of stillness, of awareness of awareness. And that experience, that, let's call it a state, which is actually an opening into the underlying selfness that is God, that is the essence of all that is, that is the foundational ground of all, are just arises sometimes, coaxed forward by the practice. And the third method, which is called Shambhava Upaya, or the means of God, of Shiva, the third method is just to see if you can stay present in presence, in awareness, when your consciousness of consciousness, your awareness of awareness arises. Can you stay in it? Can you stay poised in the open spaciousness of the madhya? Not with effort, but with a subtle will to stay present with presence, to stay aware of awareness for as long as you can. And so Anava Upaya practice uses your body and breath and subtle body to open up the madhya, the inner space. Shakta Upaya practice uses thoughts, imagination, to open that space, to recognize what you really are through giving yourself wisdom teachings. And Shambhava Upaya practice, which is sometimes in current tradition called direct path practices, where you either stay with the sense of awareness or presence as it arises, or you deliberately become aware of the awareness that is always present to your experience. And just stay there. Again, you're very welcome, if that presence has arisen, to stay there, to be in it, to enjoy it, and as it comes and goes, to let it come and go. As we continue through a series of practices to come back to this core recognition, this recognition that prior to our experience of individuality, prior to the flow of the breath, prior to articulated speech, is the awareness that we are made entirely of formless, undulating, pulsing energy, and that this pulsation, this Shakti pulsation, which is the foundational core energy, is held in its essential being by the thought-free emptiness that's called Shiva or pure emptiness, or empty fullness, or pulsing nothingness. And we're going to do a couple of practices that the Vijnanabhairava gives us for using the imagination to bring that sense of the absolute fundamental presence of that foundational consciousness alive in us through the imagination. So you can take a deep breath in and let it out. These next few practices are going to start by locating us in the physical body. And sometimes it's sort of difficult to imagine or to recognize that you can start tuning into the absolute subtlety by embodying yourself in your physicality, but it makes a really big difference if you can manage to do that. So we're going to start our meditations on emptiness, paradoxically enough, by putting our attention into the feet. And seeing if you can have the recognition, and don't think too much about this, because thinking confuses you in this instance. Have the recognition that your self, which remember we just meditated on the self, on the foundational consciousness, yourself is your feet. Yourself is your feet. Your calves, your knees and thighs are filled with yourself. So yourself, which is consciousness, is fully inhabiting your feet, your calves, your knees, your thighs. Yourself is embodied in your lower body. And see if you can not just be aware of your feet and ankles and knees and calves and thighs, not just be aware of them, but actually recognize that yourself is embodied in your lower body. And see if you can move your awareness up through the hips, the back, the torso, with the feeling that yourself is your hips, your torso, your back, your thighs, your feet, your calves, your chest, your arms, your hands, and of course your neck and head. And just, again, not thinking too much about it. Ground yourself in the experience of physically being a self in a body, self as a body. And see how well you can hold that awareness. I'm going to tell you a little story. And then we're going to do a practice with emptiness grounded in the body. The fact is that since most of us, and I include myself in this, are not always really present in the physical body, even when we're moving, it's hard for us to recognize that the body really is the fully the self, is fully filled with this foundational consciousness that we call Shiva Shakti. And for me, the practices of going into my body and then meditating on my body as filled with emptiness, a void, were among the most transformative that I have ever done, and they continue to be powerful practices for really shifting my awareness during very hard times. So I'm giving you that drum roll, just sort of as a way of encouraging you to go into the practice we're about to do. And I just want to tell you how I first discovered this power of void in the body. It was at a time, and it was about 30 years ago, actually, when, maybe even more, when everything that I had relied on was suddenly pulled away. And I'm not going to tell you the circumstances, but it was something that happens to a lot of us in different circumstances. Maybe your lover leaves, maybe your house burns down, maybe you lose your job, or maybe it's an existential crisis. But there was this feeling that there was no love, no protection, no safety in my life, and I was very, very scared and very, very, very unhappy, and in despair and in agitation. So one night, I was not sleeping. I was lying there thinking about how terrible everything was. And I remembered the words of Dharana 48, which says, meditate on your body as only enclosed with skin, but having nothing inside. Meditate on your body as empty space enclosed with skin. So in this way that Dharana says, you can attain the one who is not an object of meditation. Now that's a big idea. The one who is not an object of meditation. In other words, that one can't be meditated on, if you remember, Bhairava says, because he's not an object. He, that, it, she is, let's call it the one who's meditating on you, the pure subject. So this is what I did, and I'm going to ask you to do it now. Imagine your body as a thin membrane of skin enclosing absolute emptiness. No bones, no blood, no organs, no brain. Your body is hollow, empty like a drum, nothing inside, just space. Just space. How does it feel? Whole body is filled with space. Your whole body, enclosed by skin, with nothing inside. Every atom in your body is pervaded with space. So there's space inside the body, and there's space inside the space. And if this is more real for you, see if you can feel that inside your bones is space. Inside your organs is space. And let yourself move into that sense of the body as a membrane of skin filled with spaciousness. And notice how in that emptiness, in that spaciousness, tension melts. Thoughts melt. Your space inside your body. There's just this membrane of skin surrounding space. Let yourself be the space inside the empty body, the hollow body. And you can bring your awareness to the breath, feeling as though the breath is moving through the spaciousness inside your body, just the way wind moves through the sky. And if that feels a little, forgive the expression, spacey, come back to the sense of your feet are the self, your self is in your feet, your legs are the self, self is in your legs, thighs, hips. Come back into the sense of yourself as the body. Foundational consciousness as the body. And I'm going to ask you if there's something that came up that you would like to tell us about or share with us. You can press star seven, and tell us about it. And if you do decide to press star 7 and tell us about your experience, understand that it's very interesting to talk while holding the inner indrawn awareness of your body as space surrounded by a membrane of skin. Just know that the invitation is still there until I begin the actual instructions for the next meditation. Hello.
Hello, Sally.
Yes. Who is this?
Bob in Florida.
Hi, Bob.
The instruction that you gave last week put me in this emptiness, and it was some along the lines of go with the meditation and then ask the question or be the result of that meditation is away. And I think that I had shared with you personally once how I was doing form and emptiness and fell into a great laughing emptiness that lasted such a long time, and I am able to recreate it, and I'm doing it now.
Cool.
And the laughing emptiness was such a release of all the worries of everything, and it goes beyond nothing to do and no place to go, because it's a very happy place.
Right.
And very, you know, the breath and it could be sparkling, no sparkling, but everything becomes so non-adverse.
Right, friendly. And bubbly, kind of.
Exactly. And so I think that the great, it's to say it's no place to go and nothing to do is okay, but it's so much nicer than it's some place to go and something to do. And I just have a real feeling of love and gratitude, and that everything is perfectly the way that it is. And gee, what better life is there than that?
That's gorgeous, Bob. It's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. And it's totally beautiful. And I actually believe that this is the Shakti inside the emptiness. This is the love, bliss quality of consciousness. It's not just nowhere to go and nothing to do, but bubbling over of sweetness that is also present. So thank you so much for describing that. And I see Cheryl's hand up. So Cheryl?
Hi.
Press star 7. Hi.
I have the experience from previous meditations that you brought in when we were in Esalen, these beautiful goddess energy and gold and light and white. So it was easy to access because it was still that fresh memory.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was. It was really lovely, like revisiting all of that again. And the body literally in this last one felt physically expansive. Like I had to catch, like, all of a sudden my hands and everything started to feel like they were physically swelling up.
Mm-hmm.
So the expansion actually identified in my body to that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I suspect that other people have that experience also. I had the same experience. It's like the body boundaries, the body literally becomes bigger. And
yeah.
One of the I'm sorry?
I said bubbly is a good word. I like that word. Yeah. It's effervescent bubbliness and the hollowness.
Yeah, it's exactly. There's this effervescence in it. That's nice too. And I don't know if other people had this experience. It's sort of like, I mean, one way to understand it is that the subtle body is actually larger than the physical body. And what happens is we do this practice where we imagine the body empty beneath this membrane of skin, is that we start to realize that actually the skin is also made of energy. So, you know, and what that means is that this kind of sense of your physicality kind of enlarges to include your whole subtle body, which is often 1 to 3 feet beyond your physical body. And then sometimes it all dissolves and you're just in spaciousness. So
I didn't get to 2 feet. I only went about 2 inches.
Well, that's a good start. And in a speed meditation, of course, you don't have time to fully expand, but we'll stay with this. So thank you guys, and we're going to do another embodied dissolution practice. You know, the thing that I love about these body centered dharanas of the Vijnana Bhairava is that they actually show you something that is very interesting, which is that when you reconstitute your body sense by imagining it as empty, or the way we're going to do in this next meditation, it not only changes your sense of what it is to inhabit your body, but it makes you realize that your body, if you approach it with the understanding of what your body is actually constituted of, you know, that your body isn't simply dense, it's also filled with spaciousness or light or bliss or all the above, then your body becomes literally a doorway into the expansion of your God self. So it really dissolves that idea that, you know, that body and spirit are somehow in a dualistic relationship, because it helps you recognize that spirit is the body. Spirit is manifesting as the body, as your physicality. And it's in that sort of embodied, that, you know, what Bob called the emptiness that's like not just nowhere to go and nothing to do, but, you know, actually in vibrating, pulsing activity, inner activity that can then move out into the world with this feeling of effervescence and Shakti-driven pulsation. So you can close your eyes and go back into the inner state. And if you're unmuted, you might want to press *6. Thank you. So this is the verse. Meditate on one's own fortress, that is the body, as if it were being consumed by a mighty fire rising from the foot. At the end of this meditation, peace will appear. This is dharana number 52. So we're going to do this practice, which you may think is might be kind of hard and counterintuitive, but which turns out to be actually astonishingly powerful and sweet. So, you know, your eyes are closed. I'm going to give you, the fire is actually a symbol in tantric language of the Kundalini Shakti. So it actually asks you to imagine what happens as Kundalini is active in the physical body, the way it transforms your body by literally turning it into light. That part of the tantric secret of awakened Shakti in the body is that it does gradually over time remove the density of your physical body. So it doesn't just the practice of Shakti powered meditation, which is very much the basis of the Vijnana Bhairava practices and very much what is awakened in us as we do these practices, is that the realization, the enlightened sensation, is not just, you know, in the mind. It's not just in the awareness. It's also that it also comes to permeate your physical experience as well. So we're going to do this as a visualization, and I like to do it with a phrase that comes from a Hasidic master that's part of a long talk he gave to his disciples, which he was talking about practice and how you do it, and especially how you meditate and chant. Actually, Hasids didn't meditate, they only chanted. So what he said was, why not become fire? Why not become fire? I mean, what a wild idea. Why not allow yourself to become fire, that is, to become light, to be the actual fiery creative light that the tantras and all the sacred texts and of different traditions tell us is the original force that manifests the physical world. So you are light, so you could become light. So sit in your posture, and again, let your breath flow easily. Now, in and down towards the core of the pelvis. So you're just allowing the breath to come in with the intention of letting it reach down into the lower body, into the pelvic core. And then with the exhalation, allowing the breath to flow up into the heart. So this is an imaginative visualization, but I'd like you to put aside any idea that you can't visualize or that you can't do this with your imagination. Just let it happen because it can and wants to. It's like the inner fire of consciousness wants to show you this capacity that you have for becoming fire. And remember, this fire doesn't have to be a hot fire. It could be a cooling fire because it's light. It's divine fire. So you're in your posture. The breath is flowing very easily and naturally down towards the core of the pelvis, flowing up and out through the heart. Imagine now that a powerful flame has kindled your right big toe. This flame flows through your toes on the right side, fills your right foot, and then moves to your left foot. It flows from your right foot to your left foot so that both feet are now aflame. And begin to feel how this flame rises up from your feet, up through your ankles and calves, up into your knees and your thighs. Totally filling your lower body. Rising up into your pelvis. Just imagine your body as a glowing, brilliant red and gold flame. Remembering the gorgeousness of fire. The wonderful leaping, dancing, godlike quality of fire as you allow this sacred flame, because that's what it is, it's a sacred fire, to flow up through your pelvis, your hips, your whole lower body, filling your chest, your back, flowing into your shoulders and neck and head, flowing down your arms. Your whole body is turned to radiant light. Your entire body blazes with yellow and red flame. Your hair is on fire. You become a being of fire, a beam of light. And allow that fire, in all of its flaming beauty and power, to flow out from your body and begin to consume the world around you as far as you can take it in your imagination. And you might even imagine that in one huge imaginative sweep, that the entire world has become fire. Imagine that your body and everything that you can allow to catch fire is totally dissolved in the holy flame, and you are that which remains. You are the pure presence, the pure consciousness that remains when everything that you thought was you has dissolved in light. The light of consciousness completely permeates your awareness. And bring your attention back to the breath. Feel the breath flowing through your body, through your inflamed, light-filled, gorgeous, spacious, utterly conscious, profoundly aware body. Allowing the breath complete freedom and just notice what wants to happen, where your awareness wants to settle. I know for me at this moment it's settling in the heart, For others, it may be settling simply on the flow of the breath or in the space at the beginning and end of the breath. Or perhaps in the sense of the body as hollow and filled with pulsing space or light. So as this time of our sacred conversation comes to a close for this week, I'd like to remind you that our practice continues through the week and for as long as you would like to continue, hopefully forever, that you'll be getting a homework assignment with the practice, the central meditation practice for this week, with reminders of these dharanas that we did and with some additional speed meditations and walking around practices. I would love to encourage you to take these Shakta Upaya enlightened thought practices that we've been doing. For example, the one where you consider that the same self is in all bodies as in yours. Or the one in which we've been doing for the last couple of weeks of really looking around every now and then with the recognition that wherever you look is God, whatever you see is God. And some others that I'll give you along the same lines. And practice with them enough so that they actually start to do what they can do, which is not just subtle, make your consciousness more subtle, not just change the way you look at the world around you, but that also that they can begin to, in a certain sense, give you a spontaneous experience of what it is that you're practicing with. You know, Bob mentioned this experience that he had years ago when he was considering the Zen teaching, form is emptiness and emptiness is form. That's also one of the underlying foundational understandings of behind the Vijnana Bhairava, except that in the Vijnana Bhairava, we say that emptiness is Bhairava and form is Bhairavi or Shakti, and they're one. But it's really the same idea that inside everything physical is this spaciousness of pure awareness bliss that's we call by different names, but that is really the inner heartbeat of everything, and that inside that empty, spacious vastness that we call God is also the entire world that we call the physical world, that they're not different, they're one, they permeate each other. And what this means is that the vastness of the sweetness, the openness, the spaciousness, the power, and I want to stress this word power because Tantra is about self-empowerment as well as awareness. The two are not different in this tradition. So in that sense of your innate power, your God power, and your innate love, see if you can allow these practices to really become habitual as we go into the week to come. And next month, November, starting on the 6th, which is also a Wednesday for 3 weeks, we're going to be doing a class on practicing with emotional issues. It's called Playing Your Edge. It's the outgrowth of a series of workshops that I've been doing in the last 6 months in which we work with different methods for dealing with obstructive emotions. That this is a more, let's say, nitty-gritty, psychologically oriented, I won't say practical because I do feel that the Vijnana Bhairava is enormously practical, but a little bit more sort of daily life as it's lived oriented. So that's in the month of November. And then in December, on the first Wednesday in December, we'll begin the second Vijnana Bhairava series with a whole different set of dharanas and a deepening of our capacity for self-recognition, for knowing that what we are is consciousness bliss, is Tao, is Shiva Shakti, is the wave, the expansion, the sky, the sun, the light, the spaciousness. All these metaphors for our true nature are not just metaphors, they're the truth. So as we close, as we bring our class to an end, we'll take our practice of emptiness one step further, and we'll practice with the dharana that asks us to feel our way into the body and recognize that your entire body and mind are filled with the quality that the tantras call bliss, blissfulness, but which you can think of as inner dancing pulsation, or as soft tenderness, or as delight, wonder, surprise, as freshness, as newness. So your whole body is filled with the blissful, restful sensation, the relaxing sensation of Shakti dancing as your physicality, as the thoughts in your mind, as your sense of being, as yourself. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. Blessings, love, so much love. Good night.